From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 348, People-Centric IT, with guest Martin Booth, recorded Tuesday, November 26th, 2013. Run As Radio is produced each week by PWOP Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. With me today is Martin Booth, a senior technical product manager for user and device management scenarios at Microsoft. He is responsible for technical content and readiness for System Center 2012 Configuration Manager and Windows Intune. Martin has extensive experience in mobility solutions and enterprise IT, including time spent working in enterprise consulting, technical pre-sales, and within the Microsoft engineering teams, and he's spoken at numerous technical events everywhere in the world. I imagine TechEd's a good place for you.
Yes. TechEd is a lot of fun.
Yeah, we always have a good time there as well. And it's one of those just broad things. And isn't it a great time to be in mobile?
It is. There's so many things happening, and it's such an important piece for enterprises to understand how to manage all these devices that are coming into their environments. Things are moving very quickly, and there's a lot of great new technology out there that we need to adopt as quickly as we can.
And it's suddenly, in the span of just a few years, a very heterogeneous client world.
That is right. We've seen enterprises who traditionally used to do the one shape fits everybody style of PC management, one desktop image, one type of hardware that goes out to everyone.
Yeah.
We're seeing those enterprises flip fairly quickly over to an environment where end user has choice around the type of hardware, whether they have desktop, laptop, touchscreen, or even if they're bringing in tablets, the more portable devices, things like Microsoft Surface and the Apple iPad devices, and even then the phones. Everyone's used to getting apps and information on their phones, and they want to do that for work as well.
For sure. I mean, I blame the CTOs. It was the CTO who showed up at the enterprise and said, "See this iPad? I'm going to be using this. Figure it out." And you couldn't argue with the guy. He was three levels above your pay grade.
Certainly, and that's what drove a lot of the initial mobile device management was the CXOs coming in with the latest, greatest toy and wanting to do their work on it. But now all those toys are in the hands of pretty much all employees.
I'm excited about the enablement of sales and support services. The way I've been describing it is you're finally able to take the computer to the work. And that just, but it, from an IT perspective, this is chaos. I'm dealing with customers that are freaked out. Like, how do I maintain InfoSec? How do I manage those machines in any respectful way? And most half the time, I don't even own them. Like, what is the right thing? What am I allowed to do to that machine?
Well, you hit on the key point there. It's about the information security. Mm-hmm. Really, whatever we enable the enterprises to do, it really comes down to how well is that data protected. So from the Microsoft perspective, we want to provide the tools to enable the enterprise to control who has access to what data, what state the device is in. So are they highly managed, highly compliant devices, or are these the bring-your-own-device style consumer devices? And then making sure that the enterprise information gets delivered in the appropriate way, whether that's through native applications that run on the device and the protection that's around the data that lives with those apps, or whether we look to web applications and virtualization of apps.
Right.
And then the data itself, how do we actually protect the data wherever it goes? So things like information rights management are proving very key to actually move that protection with the actual information itself.
I'm excited at the chance to sort of talk to you a little bit on the taxonomy side of this, because you've describe several different strategies in a paragraph there that I think are really interesting. I mean, it's not that big a deal today to have business email on your phone and tablet and PC at the same time. That doesn't seem to be a stretch anymore. Are you still seeing organizations that sweat over that?
I don't know that I'd say sweat. There's still a lot of concern for enterprises, especially as more enterprises take up email for as a critical business application. I think that the biggest thing the enterprises sweat in that space is educating the users as to how to use some of the capabilities.
Right.
So things like rights management of emails, appropriate forwarding. So don't forward these corporate emails out to your personal email account. So right. The user education is the big thing to sweat there. But then beyond that, email is just a gateway application for mobile device access.
And I've been pushing really hard with the folks that I'm talked to, and I think this is the general consensus now, of thou shalt not put attachments in your email. You put links to resources inside the firewall when necessary, but you don't actually take this spreadsheet and send it to the email.
Yeah, and certainly and one of the approaches we have within Microsoft with our own corporate information is educating people around the business impact. So we have the categories of high business impact, medium business impact, and low business impact, mm-hmm. depending on what the data is. So for instance, if it's personally identifiable information, user IDs from the Xbox Live service or something like that,
right.
there are particular procedures we need to carry out with that data. So it has to live on certain file shares. It has to be protected with certain access rights and mm-hmm. rights management and things. And there's policy around, hey, don't put that high business impact information in an email. Just send a link to the appropriate resource there. So again, it's providing those tools with the user education piece.
Okay. Yeah. I guess these two things go sort of hand in hand. And I'm not a huge fan of bring your own device. I'm much happier handing them a device we know how to manage too. I think the only reason the CTO got away with the iPad stunt when he did is that it was brand new. Today, if I was the director of IT and it was that same sort of confrontation, I'd be pulling a Surface out of my back pocket saying, nah, here, use this. It's something we know how to manage. It's something we understand. It works with a network. All the apps are going to run on it. You'll be happy.
Yeah, certainly that was the approach in the past, in that it was about which devices do IT want to support, and we'll mandate that we provide them and we manage them how we want to. But what we're seeing is increasingly people are carrying high power devices. So many people have tablets and high spec phones now. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be carrying the work device and their personal device. They just want one device and get access to the things that are appropriate to them. And then conversely, on the other side, a lot of enterprises are seeing these devices, these consumer devices, as a, dare I say, cheap alternative to supplying their workforce with
yes.
devices themselves. If their users already have a tablet and a smartphone, why would the company provide them and go to the expense of supporting them, procuring them, managing them from a life cycle perspective when their users already carry devices that would actually work fairly well if they could integrate them?
If they could manage them. Do you feel like there's also a social piece here of the moment I, as an IT pro, deploy anything onto that personal device, there's kind of a shared ownership at this moment. And I don't know that the users necessarily get that I now have an obligation to be aware of what's on that device.
That is a very interesting question, because, yes, there's almost a lack of understanding, both on the IT pro side and on the end user side, what mm-hmm. it means to bring a device in for corporate use.
Right.
One of the great examples of that, we have a lot of discussions with customers around, is location information. Mm-hmm. In a highly managed environment where the company's providing devices, a lot of companies look to use the location of the device for tracking, for certain management scenarios and things like that. The problem is, when you're doing that with a consumer device, there are privacy implications, there are union implications, which means that an enterprise might not be able to manage the device and use things like location information how they would normally have expected to do it. And again, that kind of goes on the user side as well.
If right.
you're going to use your device for work purposes, you're going to have to give up some control of your device
yeah.
To bring it into corporate compliance. And that's going to vary depending on the kind of company you work for, but it could be that the company is going to lock your device down but give you the benefits of getting access to your line of business
sure.
apps.
And I bring this up because I was as a consultant to an organization where an employee had filed a privacy complaint against the IT department. She was using her personal device for work-related stuff and became aware that IT was able to see what was on that device and decided it was a privacy violation. And it was quite a row. And at one mm-hmm. point I said, a new tablet's $300. We could just get her another tablet, one that's for work, so that the dividing line is very clear. This is the work tablet, and that is your tablet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the capabilities we've brought into our products recently with the System Center 2012 Configuration Manager R2 release is the ability to distinguish between personal and corporate devices. Mm-hmm. So we can actually have the system flag, whether it's the consumer's device or a corporate provided device, and you can then use that to target policy appropriately,
right,
or to deploy applications in a certain manner. So, for instance, if it's a personal device, this does vary depending on the device platform we're talking to, but if it's a personal device, we might not inventory the entire device because we don't really need to know.
No.
Through privacy as an enterprise, we shouldn't know whether the user's running Angry Birds or whatever on their device. But if it's a corporate-owned device, we'll actually collect a full inventory of the device.
We have had conversations in the past about Intune, where Intune will simply list which of the corporate apps are on the device, not what everything is on the device, just that of the apps in our inventory, these are the ones that exist on that device.
Correct, and that's the way it was, and for certain device platforms now, unfortunately, that's the only information that's exposed through the
sure.
management interfaces. But other platforms, we can actually pull back more information.
Yeah.
So, for instance, for iPhone, iPad devices, we can pull back a full inventory of the device
mm-hmm.
If it's flagged as a corporate device. So we don't want to do that for personal devices.
Right.
For
but I think that's a great distinction, Martin, that we recognize this idea of that is a company-owned device or that is a private device that has company data on it.
Yeah, and then that should sway how that data is delivered to the device.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a personal device that's going to be lightly managed, just light policy on it, it might be that you only give the users access to a web application
right.
or access to a virtualized desktop, so the data doesn't actually go and live on the devices.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a corporate device, you might have a policy set that locks the device down to a stronger state, in which case you could actually have apps that take data down onto the device because you know that device is going to be protected, the data is going to be okay on it. If the device gets lost, it's going to be wiped, or if the device goes out of management, the data can be selectively wiped off it. So
right.
Our intention is to provide those tools and those capabilities for the enterprise to implement their device management and their application access in a way that's suitable for their users and their use cases.
I think it's an incredibly powerful conversation to say, you know, when we do this tooling right, we support good policy rather than impair it.
Yeah, and there's always the balance as well between how much you restrict a device and the usability of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if a device is highly locked down, it's going to have an impact on the user's experience, potentially from a performance perspective, potentially from a capability perspective.
Yeah.
And that always has to be kept in mind when this is a consumer's device. If I've got my own personal phone and my corporate policy is going to block the camera on it, that might not be acceptable to me as
yeah,
a user.
That's a little too far. So I'd rather give up some capability for work to be able to keep control of my device.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
great trade-off. And is this all Intune-centric? What are the other tools that we need to be looking at as we're looking at our suite of Microsoft products for managing these bring-your-own-device scenarios?
Sure. One of the things we kind of talk about, we talk about this concept of people-centric IT,
mm-hmm.
The idea of no longer thinking about kind of managing the devices as devices or delivering the applications to specific devices, but actually looking at the users, their requirements, how they're going to use the device, what kind of choice they need, and then delivering to that. And the tool set we use for that, as you mentioned, Windows Intune, is our device management channel for the cloud. We hook that up to System Center Configuration Manager to unify the management between cloud devices and the on-premise environment, giving the IT Pro that single pane of glass for management there. But there's also capabilities that we've brought in Windows Server. So things like our web application proxy, which enables you to publish applications based on things like device type. So it might be that you want to give Windows devices like Surface RT access to an application, but not necessarily Android devices. You can
right.
actually have that kind of authentication and control there.
Well, and also it depends on what apps you've got. I mean, deploying an app to an Android device is a very different ball of wax.
Sure, but the web application proxy is about the web app side
right.
of things. So that's when you're exposing like an online CRM system from your intranet. But you only want certain users and certain device types
right.
To access it.
So we can get granular per app, per website as to what systems we're going to support.
Sure. And we use this concept of device claims where the device authenticates. It's not a true AD authentication. We have this concept of device registration where there's a record in AD for the device. That is then checked when the device tries to access the website. Let's say it's a SharePoint site.
Mm-hmm.
So as well as authenticating the user, we're authenticating the device they're coming from as well.
Nice.
That's a capability we have in the backend side. It's in Windows Server 2012 R2. On the client side, the device registration is new in Windows 8.1. Plus, we also do it for iOS devices as well.
Well, you also give me a sense of a sort of two-factor authentication now, because one of the things I'm battling on the security side is I don't know where my users are. I don't always know what hardware they're using. How am I sure this is who they say they are? And I'm liking some of the new multi-factor authentications where as long as it's a known device in a known location with a known account, fine, you know, flows through. But as soon as any of those variables get a little weird, maybe I'll ask you a few additional questions and pump a text message to you or something just to confirm that that's really you.
Mm. Yeah, and the multi-factor authentication as well, we can take even further, as well as being able to authenticate the user and also get an understanding of the device they're coming in on. We have capabilities like Windows Azure multi-factor authentication, what used to be known as phone factor.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually plug that in as well. So if I try and access a website, it might say, hey, you need to register your device. I can go and do the workplace join to register my device.
Yeah.
I might actually have my infrastructure initiate a call back to the user to their cell phone that they will then have to respond to on their cell phone for an additional factor of authentication.
Nice. Yeah, that's the kind of security I think makes people actually smile. That it's not just I'm saying no, it's that I'm just checking, just giving, which actually raised my confidence too. It's like, okay, so you're aware that I've changed something. I think that's a good outcome.
Sure. And again, coming back to the earlier point, you always need to balance the user experience as well. And having the user have to authenticate with their username and register their device and do a multi-factor authentication with their phone
mm-hmm.
might work for certain scenarios if you want to ensure that the risk profile for the data is as secure as possible. But for general things like, hey, email access, you're probably not going to want to go that far.
Yeah, no kidding. But it is a balancing act depending on the app. How granular can that set of security rules be? Is that per app as well?
The web application proxy itself is it's a method for publishing the application. Mm-hmm. So you would do it on a per app basis there, and then you can state which kind of criteria or claims you need to be met for each application as the user comes in.
And is this an on-prem app at that point, or is it strictly in Azure?
This would be an on-premise application.
Okay, but I am using Azure multi-factor authentication to check that this is who they say they are.
Yeah, our approach these days is very much to span across the cloud and the on-premises environment.
Mm-hmm.
So things like Windows Intune is our cloud-based management service. We integrate Configuration Manager on-premise with that cloud service.
Right.
We do the same thing for the Active Directory. So there are some capabilities that we have in the Windows Azure Active Directory, such as the ability to federate authentication for cloud applications.
Right.
So if you are using an Azure-based app, you can authenticate through Active Directory federation services there. The application proxy is an on-premise component for exposing on-premise applications out to devices that are out in the cloud.
Right. Yeah, ADFS is part of our lives now. You need to provide a way for certain resources to be able to talk to your AD.
Yeah, it's the authentication story's had a long and interesting history through many efforts from many vendors to kind of address how do we do authentication in the cloud versus on-premise. And I think our current iteration is a long way ahead of where we've been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to federate your authentication out. So there's some information that's in Windows Azure Active Directory, which as an enterprise, you can control what gets replicated up there.
Right.
But then the actual authentication piece, you still own that. It's still on-premise. You have your Active Directory federation server within your environment. And then the user actually authenticates against that. We're not trying to move all your authentication actually into the cloud.
Right. And I appreciate the idea that it can't ever be all or nothing. There's invariably some stuff on-prem, some stuff makes sense in the cloud. We've just got to sort of decide how we're going to draw the line today.
Yeah. And one of the key things kind of coming back to the device management piece, one of the key things we're striving towards is how do we provide the capability for client management for the devices where they live?
Mm-hmm.
Brad Anderson back at the MMS event back in March was very much stressing the point about we need to manage clients where they live.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer about always having devices that are VPN connected into your corporate network and effectively on your corporate network at all times.
Right.
It's about reaching out to those devices through the cloud and making them trusted managed devices there, even though they're not touching the corporate network.
And if I, you know, now I don't want to make fun of VPNs, although it's very easy to do, because as an InfoSec guy, looking at the struggles of Wi-Fi security out in the world, as soon as I put any significant software on this mobile device, I just don't know what my users are connecting through. What's the infrastructure they're actually going through? And VPN gives me that out. It's like everything coming out of your device to talk to me is through my secured connection.
Yeah, and again, kind of the transport for network is something where we want to provide the tool set for enterprises to deploy what's appropriate for them. Mm-hmm. VPN, it's been around for a while. The standards have evolved and progressed over time. And there's a lot of enterprises that have bet on non-Microsoft VPNs, and we want to help them and enable that as well. But there are also new ways of looking at connectivity as well. So increasingly, actually publishing applications as web applications and then just relying on SSL to encrypt the tunnel between the client and the web application, it's used more and more these days. Another great capability we have is in Windows, the direct access capability.
Love me some direct access. Can I have it on an Android phone, please?
If only we could deliver that on Android today. Unfortunately, it's Windows only.
Yeah. Well, you know, of all of the, when I go through and sort of sort through phones dealing with this problem, I'm finding Android's got a pretty good VPN client. It's not direct access, but it's a pretty good client. iPhone, it's a problem. And Windows Phone's a problem, too.
Yeah, direct access, I think, is a great technology, especially as it provides the VPN-like capability from the end user's perspective. They can access their corporate resources, but it's pretty much invisible to the user.
Yeah.
You don't need to think about firing up the VPN and entering your credentials for that. The system takes care of it. From an IT pro perspective and from the infrastructure side, the beauty of direct access, it means the management systems within your environment can reach out to your client whenever they want. They don't have to wait for the end user to fire up the VPN.
Right. Yeah, and I just love that. That is such a love. I've set that up on my own system, and just the fact that my laptop, once I've got a connection to the internet, just mysteriously, there are the resources. They start to work. I just want it. And it works pretty good on tablets, too, at least on Windows tablets. But boy, oh boy, I'd like to see that on more devices.
Well, of course, we are looking at more capabilities across more devices as we progress our products. We've seen the device management extend out now to iOS devices, Android devices. With Configuration Manager, we can now manage Mac OS X computers as well as Linux and Unix servers as well. So we're consistently looking at that cross-platform story. One of the other great things I ought to mention in terms of cross-platform is we recently released remote desktop clients for iOS and Android. And for Mac as well. So the ability to actually fire up a Microsoft remote desktop client on your iPad and connect through to your Windows desktop or to your remote desktop applications direct from the iPad is a really critical piece of the BYOD story.
I totally agree. And it actually speaks to a whole other segment of this remote dynamics, which is that virtualized desktop mindset of let's leave the data on the servers, but the devices have a portal into them.
Definitely. And there are a lot of scenarios where you don't want the data to live on the device. You're just going to want to give people that remote view in.
Yeah. And I think it works great on tablets. I don't think it works on phones, but the tablet's sufficient for getting into some of that stuff. Although it seems like Citrix has the de facto product at the moment. Zen is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Citrix have led the way in kind of enabling the end client features in the virtualization scenarios, but certainly from a pure Microsoft infrastructure point of view, we're doing a lot more now. There's a lot of cases where we'd have said in the past, hey, we partner with Citrix, you're going to need Citrix to do some of these additional things. There's more things we do now where you can just use vanilla out-of-the-box Microsoft functionality. Citrix still provide additional capabilities in other areas, and they're a great partner of ours in those spaces. But we are expanding our footprint in kind of the cross-plat and the mobile space for virtual apps.
Yeah, I don't think this stuff's mature at all at this point. Virtualization is still at the beginning part. The whole virtual app model. Let me say that again. Sorry, the whole virtual app model is fascinating.
Yeah, and as you say, it's changing a lot, and we're going to keep on it. You mentioned about the phone capabilities. It's been postulated for a while that eventually one day we're going to have a device that's like a phone in your pocket that you'll drop into a dock that will give you a keyboard and a full screen,
right.
At which point you're going to want to have the virtual client for that phone to give you access to those apps.
Yeah, we got so much horsepower in our phones already, it's crazy. But this idea that we could just carry our data and our configuration around with us and plug into whatever hardware is available is, I think that's a big future. Lots of computing power, but your identity is the piece you want to carry around.
Yeah, and actually, that leads on to another good topic for around kind of enabling device management and portable clients, and that's the Windows to Go technology.
Yes.
Where you can have your Windows image and your data sitting on a USB stick, BitLocker encrypted and protected and all that. But all you need to do is drop that into a PC, boot off it, and you've got your corporate desktop wherever you are. We're seeing a lot of enterprises look at that as an interesting scenario for people working from home. They're taking their BitLocker drive home and booting up their corporate image via their home PC.
Mm-hmm.
We're also seeing that as an interesting scenario for things like contract workers or workers in highly secure environments where they may actually not have access to the secured network within the environment, but they need a desktop image to boot off.
Sure.
And again, from a configuration manager perspective, we can just manage those Windows to Go endpoints as if they are another corporate device on the network.
Yeah, the challenge with Windows to Go is enterprise only, which I don't know why they did that, because it's one of those things where it's like more people should use this. And the right thumb drives aren't cheap. They're a couple hundred bucks. Like, I think people struggle with spending that kind of money on a thumb drive, even though those drives are dramatically faster. I mean, seriously fast drives.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great technology, but it's kind of early days for Windows to Go. I'm excited to see where we're going to take that technology.
Sure. You know where I'd like to see it? I'd like to see it inside my phone. I'd like to see a very fast piece of storage like that in my phone that I can access with my phone. But when I plug that USB port into a machine, I could boot from it and live in an environment.
Mm. That would be an interesting development.
Yeah, I think that'd be very cool. That really speaks to that whole idea of I just want to use whatever computing powers around me. Fun stuff. You know, I'm always thinking about, I carry a Windows phone and an Android phone for different projects. The fact that everybody has a USB port today just makes me wonder, why aren't we using this more? There's more things we could do here.
Yeah, I think that there is a long way that the mobile device space is going to go in terms of enabling people to be portable.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much early days.
Yeah, I mean, it's still not as simple as we want it to be. I mean, stuff like SkyDrive. Do you look at SkyDrive from a corporate perspective as something that I should be providing shares to my staff on, or is it purely a personal product?
Well, in terms of file synchronization, because SkyDrive is at its heart a file synchronization technology.
Absolutely.
We have a number of solutions right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've had feedback from some customers that we need to kind of bring it all under one solution, but today there's a couple of different offerings depend on what you're actually trying to achieve.
Right.
SkyDrive itself is a consumer file sync technology. It's the technology for enabling you to share your documents between your personal devices and things like automatic upload of photos and getting them stored in the cloud. From an enterprise perspective, we have some different capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
One is SkyDrive Pro. Little confusing in that it shares the SkyDrive name, but this is actually a file sync technology that's based off SharePoint.
Okay.
So if you're a heavy SharePoint user and you're using a lot of SharePoint's document retention capabilities or document protection capabilities, team sites, things like that, you can use SkyDrive Pro to enable the end clients to synchronize that information with their SharePoint environment. So for a lot of environments that are doing workflow or rich document editing within SharePoint, SkyDrive Pro is the file sync technology for that. The other file sync capability that we have for the devices is a technology called Workfolders. Today, this is Windows 8, 8.1 only, but we have announced that we're looking at bringing it to iOS and Android as well. No time frame just yet, but we are working on those clients. This is a file sync capability for file shares. So I have my personal file share up on the network. I can actually have that synchronized down to my devices automatically. So whenever I save a piece of information to the Workfolders folder on my PC, it's going up to the Workfolders server within my enterprise and will actually get replicated out to my other devices as well.
Nice.
So it's kind of a SkyDrive for the enterprise, but it's very specifically about your file share within the enterprise.
Yeah. Well, it just reminds me of good old public folders in Exchange, which they keep trying to kill, but sharing files amongst groups of people, it's just not that easy still.
Yeah, and I think what we've seen is file sync is something that a number of different groups within Microsoft plus other vendors have been trying to tackle from different angles, and we're seeing them slowly come together kind of to work out what it is we need to provide. I think we've got a little way to go before we come to one unified solution that deals with all synchronization of data, but we've got some good compelling solutions out there which do enable us to have things like the data protection. One of the capabilities I didn't mention earlier around Windows Server is the ability for it to apply rules to data.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great demos we've done at a number of events, we did it at the TechEd keynote back in June, is a demo of saving a document through work folders, the document replicating up to the Windows Server, and then Windows Server inspecting the document, finding a specific keyword within the document, and automatically applying rights management to that document on the server side.
Wow.
That change then gets replicated back down to the client. So I've just, let's say, created a PowerPoint with some super secret code word of our next version product in it. When I save it to my work folder locally, the server's going to pick it up, rights manage that document, and I'll get that synchronized back down. So the server automatically protected that data for me. I didn't have to think about it or do anything about it. The server took care of it based on the rules that were set up there.
And then always the question, once you have a protected document like that, is how do I get the rights to access this? I think that's the toughest piece, is like, is there a communication path to actually fulfill some claims to get that document open for you?
Right now, today, the owner of the document that applied the rights to it is the owner, and they're the person who specifies who has access. If you need access to the document and you don't have access, you have to go and chat to the owner of it.
Right.
We don't have a workflow capability in rights management today to enable things like that. But what we've found from a lot of enterprises is actually getting people to use rights management and having things like the rights management capability within Exchange and mm-hmm. Outlook, and then bringing it into the file server as well, at least providing that level of protection to the data helps enterprises way more than all the data just going out unprotected as yeah. it was.
Just the idea that a document can be locked once it leaves the environment it was supposed to live in is, I think, pretty exciting for a lot of folks.
Yeah. And again, that loops back to what we were talking about earlier, in that it's all about protecting the data, making sure the data is secured wherever mm-hmm. it goes. And if that means that we encapsulate the data with rights management and that's how we're going to protect the data, then that's probably a good solution for a lot of secure environments.
Sure. Yeah, it's an interesting, and it is sort of just delivering the things we need for now as this environment keeps evolving, more and more machines in more and more different places.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Challenging times. Martin, really fun to talk to you. I don't think this is a conversation we planned, but it's certainly a valuable one.
Excellent.
Hope to talk to you again sometime. Loop back with us as this story evolves.
Yeah, no problem. It's been fun chatting with you, and I'm more than happy to give my views and share what we're doing within Microsoft in this space whenever you need.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.